So the question was asked, when you're a guest at someone's home, so what are the guidelines of tzniut and picking up the children and picking up the daughters and playing rough with the children? So I think there are...
I mean, it works fine, but I'm just nervous.
I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear, but I'll tell you what I think is the correct answer. Let's begin with my home. I have about 200 guests every year coming through my house. How many strangers are going to lift my children, and I can expect that my children will have a perspective that there is such a concept as a stranger? You know, you got to figure that Moshe Yehuda has already seen over 1,000 people going through our house. If every one of them who's very nice and who I like and I'm happy is in my home is going to start lifting him and playing with him, then in his mind, everyone could be his uncle. You know, I can never get the point across to him, you know, you shouldn't let other people touch you. And that's an important point to tell a kid. So I'm saying, that's a point to think about. I don't let guests pick up my kids, and even if it puts guys on the spot, if a guy will pick up my kids, I'm going to say, please don't. And I explain it to the guests. It's not in the child's interest. You know, it might be fun for him now, but it's ruining a certain healthy perspective that he has to have. He has to understand there's family, and then there are people who are not family. And as much as we like having guys in our home, I have to be realistic. Every one of you is moving on, and there are another 100 guys who are going to be here over the course of this year, another 100 guys who were there last year, another 100 guys who were there the year before. You know, there are, Baruch Hashem, a lot of people. I can't even keep up. I don't know if every guy that's leaving has yet been to us for a meal. I can't keep up with all the guys. So there is a point where you have to remember what's in the child's interest. And it's fun to play around with a kid, but what's in his interest? Another point you should remember is that you never know what the parent is thinking.
Yeah.
We've already gotten phone calls from people who hosted guys, and the guys were perfect. The guys, there was nothing wrong with them. But the parents were uncomfortable with the way that the guys were playing with their sons or daughters. And then they called up the machon and said, you know, you got to keep an eye on so-and-so. And you don't know. It's like I once taught in an institution, and one of the guys in the institution felt that one of the teachers had touched him improperly. So I took the matter to the one in charge, and the one in charge demanded that we right away call the teacher in. And I didn't want to be on the spot facing the teacher. You know, all the students came to me without complaining. I didn't want to do it that way. So the principal told me, he said, look, whether the student is right or wrong, you and I don't know. What we do know is that this is something which you can't gauge. You know, could be the teacher was perfectly okay. Could be the teacher did nothing. But the student didn't feel that way. Meaning, if the teacher gave the student a hug and the student felt the teacher went too far, then the teacher has to know that the student felt he went too far. Now, what are you going to say? Another student would be very happy that he received the hug. But the teacher has to know that this is how the student grasped it, because he has to know that he's in a danger zone right now. Whether the teacher is right or not, well, this is the first complaint. The teacher's been teaching here for 30 years. We've never gotten a complaint. So I'm not quick to think there's something wrong going on here. But I am quick to think that we have to address it with the teacher right now, and he has to know that we're on the lookout now and that there's been a complaint posted. So that's the way it's being received on the student's end, and he has to be more careful. And I don't think that teacher did anything wrong. You know, the student was complaining that the teacher would always pat him on the back. Not him, every student when they'd come in. The teacher claimed that he was checking which students walked in with tzitzis or not. Like, he'd pat him on the back and then he'd know. That's what the teacher claimed. I don't know, I don't care. You know, the matter was brought to the principal's attention. The matter was brought to the people's attention, and there was an eye being kept on it. But that's an example, and that's something which you have to remember. You never know what the reaction is going to be. And so that's why I think that in light of the first two points, I think unless it's a family where you're really a part of the family, and even then you have no guarantee how they're going to perceive it, and they're not going to tell you. I mean, some people will, but many people won't. You won't know. But they might call us and not tell you. I'm just saying. Right. I'm saying. Right. You never know what ruins a guy's reputation. You never know a lot of things. So I think it's better safe than sorry. Like I my policy when I was a bachelor was A, I never picked up when I was a guest, I never picked up the kids. B, if they climbed on me, I asked the parents if it was okay. And I preferred being safe than sorry. And C, when I would tutor privately, it was only in a public place. Even if it was Bein Hazmanim and I was the only one in the yeshiva, I'd insist that the kid, we meet in a different Beis Medrash. Because a person has to not only be careful that what he does is right, he has to make sure that no one can say that what he did was less than right. And it's not enough that what you're doing is in the right. You have to protect yourself and ensure, I have the same policy also, I try not to talk to women. Like if wives have an issue they want to discuss, I try to have them talk to my wife, don't talk to me. But if there's an issue that has to be discussed with me, it's only in my wife's presence. I won't even do this thing that, well, the door's unlocked and theoretically, no. So some people are uncomfortable, so I say, okay, go talk to someone else. No one said you have to talk to me. You know, I want to make sure there's no room for anyone to ever say anything. And so I always encourage, don't talk to me, talk to someone else. And if you insist you have to talk to me, it has to be with my wife there or her husband there, whatever. But, you know, one or the other. And very often I'll say, leave the question in writing, an email, in a mail, or like in the post office box, whatever. Because it's not enough that what you're doing is right. I think the facts have spoken for themselves. More than once, we've already had people who hosted guys, and then they called up, and the guy, I don't think the guy did anything wrong. I can tell you, I know the guys, I've had the guys in my house, and even from what we were told, our impression was that the host was overreacting. But at the end of the day, that doesn't protect your name. You know.
So I mean, I always kind of have this idea in my head that part of my job as a guest is that I'm here to entertain your kids. Mm-hmm. Is that improper, or is that like...
I think that entertaining could be in other veins. Yeah, I think a good guest is like you're saying.
Yeah, like we, I don't know, I knew guys who would learn ghost stories before them, tell the kids before them, you know, stuff like that.
So again, depends on what family you're with. You have to make sure that's in line with what they want the kids to hear. But yeah, I think that a lot of people gauge a guest by how warm they are to the kids and how much they let the parent, the host, be with the kids. I mean, some guests take all the attention away, and then every second they have to talk to the host, and then the host never gets anything done with the kids. And you know, Shabbos table is a time where you want to be with your kids. I think a good guest also lets the parent be with the kids, and also is entertaining to the kids themselves. But I think, you know, the two are not mutually exclusive.
So, is there any ideas about
tell them a story. Tell them a medrash. What do you mean? Tell them a story. I learned how to tell stories from a guest that was by us. We had a guest by us once, and we wanted to put the kids to sleep. So this was a girl, a female guest. She sat down with the kids when they were in bed, and she started telling them a story. Many, 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 many years ago, there was a very, very kind prince. And this prince had a beautiful white horse. And that horse used to shine in the sun and wag its tail. And she'd say all these pointless details. And by the time she was done with all her details, she didn't say a single point in the story. But the kids were sleeping. I learned from her how to tell a good pointless story. You know, you give all the details, all the adjectives, and the kids are falling asleep because it's like it's nice, it's beautiful, but it's nothing. So then you could fall asleep, saying, "Yeah, you could," you know. Yeah, so maybe we should bench and clean up also.